Here at the All In Podcast, we love talking about sports. That's pretty much our main topic. And sure. In sports, you need to be reliable. Well, what's more reliable than Tavon's Lawn Care, LLC? It's a Black-owned family business in York, PA. Tavon's Lawn Care, or TLC for short, since they provide each job with tender love and care, has been in business for over 10 years. Founded by owner Tavon Parker, TLC aims to provide employment for underprivileged youth while providing great service at a reasonable rate. You can visit Tavon's Lawn Care LLC.com or Tavon's Lawn Care on Facebook and Instagram to view their portfolio and request your cost-free quote now. So if you need any kind of lawn care or landscaping job, visit Tavon's Lawn Care for your landscaping needs.
Hey guys, welcome back to the All In Podcast. This is episode 19. We're doing a soccer podcast today, talking about the Premier League and some La Liga action. I'm one of the co-hosts, Mike Badzig, joined like every episode with my co-host, Eli Cooper. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Great opportunity to talk some more football. We have a special guest today, my guy, Dan Thiel. How's it going, man?
What's going on? It's so great to be back. And I'll tell you what, last time I was on, the restart hadn't started yet. And guess what? We are halfway through the remainder of the season. So it's crazy how time has flown by and how little time is left in the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's been going quick. It's like it just fly by. Like, and the thing too is Liverpool wrapped it up so quick, and it kind of just you know took a little bit of it out. But you know the top four race is really shaping up to be exciting with the way some of the teams are coming on. We're gonna get into Chelsea, the way that Pulisic has played. Man United, they've looked really good. Arsenal's coming out of the gate looking really good too. So we're gonna touch on all of them. We're also gonna talk a little La Liga here. Talk about their title race and some stuff going on with Messi and him possibly leaving. We do want to talk about some stuff going on at the All In Network. Eli posted his 2011 redraft today on the website, allinnetwork.net. So make sure you guys are checking that out and you are keeping up with those redrafts. So he's going to do all of them up through 2019. And also, we just launched today our first merchandise store. So if you go to teespring.com/all-in.network, all-in-network, you can get merchandise from the show. We got t-shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, coffee mugs, blankets, stickers, pretty much anything that you would want to support, you know, so check that out. We'll have a link with this video too. Anything else, Eli?
Yeah, I think the only other thing is Real Deal Radio now coming to the All In Network. My guy, Cody Deal, former guy that I played basketball with in the Central PA area. He's joining the network, and his podcast should be coming in the next couple of weeks here. He'll probably be make an appearance on our show coming up soon. His trailer is up on YouTube and Spotify, still waiting on his clearances for Apple. But you guys have shown a lot of excitement for it so far. If you haven't seen it yet or heard yet, check out our YouTube channel, and that's where you'll be able to see all of his podcast content going forward is under his playlist on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to catch all that. You know, all of his new shows.
Yeah, really excited about Cody joining us. So we are doing another soccer part. We have another kit battle today. The last time we did this, Dan and Eli squared off with the kit. I'm rocking the United jacket. Who you got today, Dan?
All right, today I have a 2008-2009 Chelsea Champions League and a legend unlike any other. Frank Lampard.
Coach.
Oh no, I can't. You know, who can compete with that, man? Who's, you know what I mean? Who can handle that? Now, you know, I did come with something new, something fresh, some crispy, some PSG. Nice. My guy Neymar. Neymar Jr. Rocking the Neymar jersey from this year, or
your white kits. So.
Right. Looks good, man.
Soon to be on Inter Miami Neymar Jr. That kid, right? Is that what's happening? So let's talk Premier League then. The top four race is shaping up to be really close. It's going to come right down probably to the last weekend with some of the fixtures we got lined up. So we're going to kind of talk about some of these teams that are in the race, and we're going to start with Dan's team, Chelsea. for the most part, they've looked really solid out of the break. They had a hiccup there against West Ham, but and mostly the main factor, the guy who's looked probably the best, is the American Christian Pulisic. So, Dan, talk about Pulisic and how he's played and what have you seen from Chelsea so far?
Yeah, he has been unbelievable. And if it hasn't been for him and the difference he's made on the pitch, wow, I would say Chelsea maybe wins half of the matches that they've won so far. He has just been a game changer out there. And, you know, before the restart, you know, when we had this chat a couple weeks ago, you know, whether or not he was in the long-term plans for Chelsea. And I thought he was going to be a role player, but not the star player of this squad. And, you know, it remains to be seen how it's going to be next year with some of the additions that are going to be brought in. But wow, he's getting some comparisons to Eden Hazard right now. And Frank Lampard's trying to tone that down a little bit and say, let's not get ahead of ourselves. He has a lot to prove, but just how direct he has been playing with the ball. It's almost magical. You know, the comment was made in the last match that it looks like he has the ball on a string around his foot, and he just has such great control, goes directly at the defenders, can make guys miss, and the power that he puts in that shot, the goal that he had against Crystal Palace, the second goal that they had scored in that match, just so much power behind it, and really the keeper had no chance. So if he can keep that going into next season, wow, the sky is really the limit for him. And with the other additions like Werner and Ziyech that they're bringing in, perhaps Havertz coming in, wow, he could just be going to superstar world talent type level next year.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, Captain America, I've been hyping him up on this podcast for, you know, quite some time now. And we only want good things for Christian Pulisic here. So it's amazing to see him playing the way he is. 3 goals in their 6 games of the restart. And I believe, I'm not sure how many of those games he started. I think it was like 5 or 6. But if you look at, you know, Chelsea, he's their third leading scorer now. He's the third leading scorer that they have, and fourth, I believe, or tied for 8th in assists. But he's now scored more goals than Pepe from Arsenal, their big summer signing. Mm-hmm. He has 2 more goals than Mason Mount, who is, other than Tammy Abraham, has been the big talk of the young players that Chelsea has had. He's now passed him in 13 less games. He has 2 more goals. So, like, I don't know. I mean, he's making a very strong argument for him to be a regular player at bare minimum for the rest of the year. I don't think he should come off the field or at least as a starter. Now next year things are getting a little tough. Obviously you have Werner coming in, and the Kai Havertz possibility is looking stronger and stronger each day. Mm-hmm. So that does make things difficult for him. And I'm really hoping that Kai Havertz deal falls through, because he's proven it. He's shown us that he can be the guy. You know what I mean? He's shown us that he can be a day in, a day out starter. Sure, it's a little bit early to give him the Hazard comparison. That's nonsense. But he's been better than Hazard this year, has been for Real Madrid, which that hurts me to my inner core to say.
Crazy to say, that's actually good business for Chelsea.
Right, exactly. I mean, so, you know, it's tough, man. And I'm hoping he finds a way to combat all these new signings coming in. You know, I guess his target now is going to be like Tammy Abraham, and maybe them hoping that Werner ends up being like a true, you know, 9 for them or something like that. Because if Havertz comes in, I see him going back to the, you know, sporadic role that he was in previously, which kind of sucks because we see the talent there. So it really just depends on, you know, what Lampard's thinking and how these new transfer signings come in impact the team selection.
Yeah, one thing I'd say about Lampard is, at least what he's shown as a manager this season, is that he is loyal to the players that show up in the matches. If you perform well in the matches, and possibly in training, we don't get to see that, obviously, you will see your way back into the first team in the next match. He's just very loyal to the hot hands and the guys that are putting in full effort. And it took a while for Pulisic to earn Lampard's trust this season. But I mean, since the restart, I don't see how you could take him out of the lineup and even into next year, assuming that he's training well with the team at the start of the season. I think you got to pencil him in and see where it goes.
And that's such, sorry, Mike, just to piggyback on the Lampard thing. That's such a healthy environment to have as a team. You know what I mean? Like, that breeds team success, is when, you know, every day that you show up, it's a fight to get on the field, court, whatever sport it is. Like, that's the kind of environment that you want to create, is guys coming in literally having to prove themselves every day. And Lampard has created that environment. I think that's honestly the biggest thing as a coach. And it's no wonder that these signings want to come to Chelsea now. Like, if I was a big summer signing or a guy on the move, of course I want to play for, a coach who's making everybody work for everything possible, because I know there's no favoritism at all.
Yeah. And, you know, at this point, though, I think that when Frank Lampard's making his team sheet, Pulisic has to be a top two or three name that goes on there. Like, I don't know if there's any question about starting him, at least going forward here in the next couple of weeks. And they're going to have some big matches here, you know, as far as keeping their spot in the top four. They were able to jump. They're in third now. That's something that me and Dan talked about. LC dropping off, and it looks like they have a little bit. But Pulisic, man, like, you know, the thing with him that we knew was the pace. We knew about the pace. We knew he was able to get – he's able to have a little bit of burst, change his speed. He can kind of speed things up when it slows down. We knew that about him coming into this year, you know, and then the question became, is he going to be able to handle the finishing, and can he put it in the back of the net? Maybe it looked like it wasn't quite happening, but these last couple games, it's happening big time. And the goal he scored in the last game here, just like with the left foot, near side, and you can tell the defender is playing him in a way that's like, he's going to come back to the middle. He's going to come back to the middle. He wants to put it on his right foot and put it in the bottom corner. And, you know, when he fires it with his left foot, and the keeper has no chance, the power, it's just like, that's dirt. That is dirt. I mean, that is world-class goal scoring right there from a guy who's not known as a goal scorer. And is also 21 years old, correct, Dan? 21 years old. So, you know, he has a lot of room for growth here as well. Like, I'm excited about it. And, you know, as far as these other signings coming in, listen, if Pulisic is playing like this, I don't think it's going to be him that gets the boot. I think it's going to be Mason Mount. And we know Pedro is out the door. But, hey, maybe Hudson-Odoi is the next one who is not up to snuff with Pulisic. Maybe he's the one that gets the boot. Pulisic has a real case. Even against some of these guys coming in, you could argue, you know, if he keeps this up over the next five matches to end the season here, it's hard to make a case, you know, him doing this in the Premier League against some of these other guys who are very talented but, you know, are playing in Netherlands or in Germany. I would argue that it's just as impressive to be doing what he's doing in the Prem, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. But I'm high on Christian Pulisic right now. Even going into next year, I think he's going to be a real fixture in the squad.
Agreed.
So let's talk Man United then, my squad. They have looked just unbelievable since the break. You know, they came back against Tottenham. That game was really a game I think they should have won. They gave away kind of a quirky goal to you know, one where Maguire just kind of got beat bad, and they gave it up, but and then they're able to get one back. Pogba did not start that game. He's been starting ever since, and man, they have looked amazing since he's been starting. Going forward, they're unreal. They scored 5 goals, you know, 3 in like 15 minutes against Bournemouth after going down 1-0. They have looked unbelievable. So we'll let Dan go first here. What have you thought of United so far?
Yeah, the guys that can put the ball in the back of the net. How many can we name right now? Just that have been in the lineup lately: Fernandez, Pogba, Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood. Mm-hmm. 5 guys that are just so explosive and can change the game at any point. And, you know, defensively, I like the fact that they've used Matic a little bit, a little bit of Fred to kind of just hold down the back 5 there and letting the rest of the guys just do their work. And it has been unbelievable against Bournemouth. That was like a back and forth match in the first half. And then it was just lights out. Attack, yeah. Attack, attack. And so it reminds me a lot of Man City when they just have a strong lineup that Pep rolls out, where you have four or five guys at any point that can just find the back of the net and just take over. So it's been incredible to see that. As a Chelsea supporter, I'm a little scared of Man United going into next season and even in the rest of this season, really, if it comes down to it, because they're really going to be battling it out the rest of the way.
Yeah, I've loved what I've seen so far in Greenwood. Honestly, I mean, Bruno coming in has really been the catalyst, right? I don't think any of this happens if they don't bring in Bruno in the transfer window. But Mason Greenwood has, we talked about Pulisic and the way he's looked, and he looks like he's world-class, and he's 21 years old. Greenwood is 19, and he's been playing top-flight football really since he was 16 years old. But he looks like a finished scorer, and he's kind of like, if I hate to do the basketball comparisons, but he's almost like a Steph Curry type because he can really get his shot off from anywhere. He doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter where, left foot, right foot, and he has a legitimate chance of putting it in the back of the net. He's got all the angles, and to do that at 19 is so impressive. So my biggest thought now is, do we even need Jadon Sancho? Like, where is he going to even go? Now I'm thinking, because in the beginning of the year, it was always the defense was playing solid, but we weren't scoring enough goals. Now it's almost the opposite. Now it's like we might need backline help instead of Sancho. So let's get into that conversation after. Eli, give your thoughts on Man U, and then we'll start talking about some transfer stuff.
Well, I mean, everything you guys said is right on the nose. Mason Greenwood is a bright young talent. And Solskjaer has said it all along, like, that Greenwood's the most natural finisher. And he's absolutely right. Like, I mean, he's the most natural two-footed finisher that they have. I mean, that second goal against Bournemouth, he had no business making that. I mean, he's gone to his weak right foot
right,
and kind of away from goal, and he rockets it opposite top left. Like, it was just – I wasn't even sure how he got it off. I wasn't even expecting him to shoot it, and he drilled that. And I was like, yo, this dude is different. He can finish with both feet. He's got the pace to him. And like you said, he's actually only 18. I think he turns 19 in October. Wow. So, he's a young guy. And then you have Rashford, who's been in terrific form. Martial has been in terrific form. And obviously, Bruno is the guy who turned this team around. And then you added in Pogba. And I think that just opens up so much for those attackers. You know what I mean? And I think it makes them so much more effective, not just in counterattack play, but in regular build-up play. Because they have two guys now in Bruno and Pogba who can kind of pick a defense apart with their passing. So I think that's what's really unlocked them. To transition into your next question about Sancho, I do think they need him still. To contend for a title with the likes of Liverpool and Manchester City and Chelsea, who's adding depth. You need depth. And what Sancho does is he's a starter, but he gives you depth because now you're bringing Greenwood. Because I think Greenwood's still an off-the-bench player in the Premier League for now, maybe for like a year or two at least. He's still an elite off-the-bench scorer. And then you're bringing Daniel James off the bench. And guys like that. So when you need Sancho so that he can move these guys to the bench, and then when someone up front isn't playing well, you're bringing on Greenwood. You're bringing on the pace of Daniel James and things like that. And then you do need to strengthen the back line. The back line's been solid, though. So, I think really you just need to kind of replace Lindelof, I think would be the only thing. And I don't know that you have to spend a ton of money on an upgrade for him. So, yeah, if they could get Sancho at a reasonable price, not as long as BVB isn't taxing something crazy, I think you do need him to become title contention. And even if it doesn't happen like next year, like I think you add Sancho, you go to title contention, maybe in his second year and third year and so on you keep this core. I mean, God, with how Man U looks right now, you just imagine Sancho in that mix. That's scary to me.
What do you think they should spend their money, Dan?
Yeah, I agree that they should go after Jadon Sancho because, like Eli said, you need some depth. Right now it looks great because all these star players are all playing at the same time, but you can almost guarantee that over a long season, there will be injuries. There will be guys that go in and out of form. And you just need a little bit of rotation in there. I don't know, and Mike, maybe you could give some insight on this. Are they expecting Ighalo to come back next season? I know he was on like a short-term deal this year.
He should, yeah, he should be back. If he wants to be back, yeah, they extend.
Okay. Yeah, they extended his loan, so he'll be back.
So that's helpful to have a little bit there as well. But absolutely, you need some depth. Currently, it looks good because of the starting 11 they have. But if any one of those starting, you know, attackers went out, I would find I would think as of right now, the replacement would leave a little bit of a hole there. So, and I also think Greenwood's probably not an every game starter as of yet. We'll have to see how he does it over a long season. And also keep in mind, he scored a lot of goals in different competitions this year. He hasn't done it a whole lot in the Premier League yet. He's done it in the League Cup, the FA Cup, Europa League. However, the goals he scored in the Premier League have usually been against lesser competition. So not to say that he can't do it against the top teams, but it's still a wait and see thing for me to tell you that he's, you know, the future. Obviously the future looks bright for him, but I'm not all the way there yet.
Yeah. And you know, the other guy here who there's a lot of question marks, I think, is Maciel. Really, you know, is Maciel a title winning striker? I don't know yet. You know, he's a guy who looks disinterested a lot of the time, especially before some of these other guys were in. He looked disinterested a lot of the time. Now I think with Pogba and Bruno, you can tell that he's more into it. Yeah, but maybe Rashford is a guy who eventually transitions to a number nine role. And they had talked about that before with him. You know, maybe more natural for him is to play striker. I like him personally out on the wing. But, yeah, I think that depth is always a big thing. Now, I will say, if I had to pick personally between adding Sancho and adding a center back to go alongside Maguire, I think I'd go with a center back. They just need someone with more pace back there because, you know, what do we always talk about with Maguire? He's so slow. And, you know, in the beginning of the season, kind of their strategy was, let's sit back and we'll attack on the counters. Well, that was fine for Maguire because he didn't have to get too far forward and it was easy for him to recover. Well, now that they're controlling a lot of the ball and they're playing a deeper style where they're in the other team's end, you know, if something happens, a counterattack happens, Maguire is not the guy who's going to get back and defend it, and Lindelof really isn't either. Wan-Bissaka, you know, obviously is great at this, but Luke Shaw is an issue too at left back. He's not great. And you know, Matic as the, you know, defensive midfielder, you know, I think if you looked at the stats and the analytics, he's probably better than what he's been getting credit for this year. I think a lot of people are off of him, but really if you look at the numbers, he has been really pretty good. They just extended him to a new deal. But I would not be disappointed at all if they went out and got somebody else to really shore up that holding position in the midfield. And then, you know, if you get somebody really solid back there, it's a lot easier for Pogba and Bruno to play that kind of 2-H role where they're both attacking on different sides. Maybe a Thomas Partey we had talked about before coming over from Atleti. There's rumors of him to Arsenal. I think he makes a little more sense at United. Of course, I think most people make a little bit more sense at United. So, I'm excited about United, man. There are a lot of good things going on. Seems like they've turned a corner from where they were in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you one more question on that, Mike. A goalkeeper, would they consider bringing back Dean Henderson from Sheffield United and maybe selling off David De Gea?
Well, you know what? De Gea, and he's one of these guys, man, like – so I think he – it's tough because he was – so, like, if you're rating goalkeepers, like for instance, like Gigi Buffon is, he was never really a 10, but he was like an 8 out of 10 for like forever. Well, De Gea was like a 10 out of 10 for like so long, and then like the last year and a half, and until last year, now he's like a 6 out of 10. Most of the time, would you agree? He's like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been disappointed with De Gea. Dean Henderson could make sense. I think they're gonna stick with De Gea maybe at least for another year and just see, you know, they big investment. So. I don't know. I haven't given up on him yet. I think maybe it's more product of team success that he's been. I mean, he's had moments where he still looks like a really great goalkeeper, but he's also had moments that are really bad.
I know Chelsea would take him right now. So if you're trying to get rid of him,
well, call me up. Send us Pulisic or something. No. So let's talk about another team who seems to have maybe turned a corner, and that's Arsenal. Coming out of the break, they lost their first two. They looked really bad against City, and then they dropped another bad one to, I think, Bournemouth. Then they won four in a row, and then the last fixture, they were able to have a draw against Leicester City. They have crawled their way up to, I think they're in seventh now. No, they're in eighth, 1 point behind Sheffield, two behind Wolves. So I guess the question is, do they have a chance at making a run at the top five spot? They'd have to climb five spots right now. You know, they do have some fixtures where they'd be able to gain some spots. And if not anything else, do you think they've maybe turned a corner under Arteta, Dan?
Yeah, so I don't think they have a chance for top five.
Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of top five, I just want to also comment that Man City is having their appeal heard, or the decision on their appeal to UEFA for Champions League play. That's going to be announced on Monday. So we will find out on Monday, hopefully, if it will be a top five that we're looking for Champions League or top four. Obviously, if Man City is banned from Champions League, that will turn to a top five that would make it, obviously, Man City being on the being disqualified in that competition for possibly the next 2 years. So when we're talking top four, top five right now, that's what we're kind of referring to. It will kind of hinge on that decision by UEFA to either repeal that disqualification for Man City. But back to Arsenal, I really think that they're playing for Europa League right now. When they drew against Leicester, that late Vardy goal, that kind of just took the wind out of their sails. I think they had a little bit of momentum going, and that not getting the 3 points there kind of hurt them. I think 5 points, and Man United has a game in hand on them, so that could potentially be 8 points over four matches. It's just too far to make up. But they are in good shape for Europa League, and I do think that they've turned the corner over the last few matches, looking much tighter defensively. It's crazy, once Leno went out too, and it's not really all Leno's fault, but it is interesting that when Leno got hurt a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden they started keeping it real tight in the back. And it's just really strange, because I don't doubt he's the better keeper, but it, you know, they just seem to be playing a little better defensively now. And Saka, the Bukayo Saka, I believe his name is, he is just coming out of nowhere, really. And Arteta is really trusting him in the lineup. And he's been scoring some goals. He has a lot of assists and just creating for Aubameyang there. So I really like the way he looks. And I think this team,
He's been better than Pepe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this team is for next year. They will probably, you know, we talk about, you know, Chelsea, Man United, you know, Man City is going to still be good. You know, Liverpool's still going to be good. So top four might be a stretch next year, but they might be right on the edge there.
Yeah, I think top five for Arsenal is a little unrealistic. Like Dan said, I think Europa League's is more realistic, and mostly because that draw against Leicester, that hurt, man. Especially when you give up a late goal like that, you know, that puts you level with Wolves at the sixth spot rather than, you know, 5 points back and possibly eight from United. So, you know. And with the way United's playing, I just don't see how they cover that ground. And even with Leicester, you know, that's – granted, they're not in the greatest form, but sitting at 59 point, you know, 9 points above Arsenal, it's hard to assume that they're going to drop, you know what I mean, that Arsenal's going to gain 9 points in four games over Leicester in that span. They'd need a complete and utter collapse for them to get there. So probably not. I would even say it's probably – unrealistic to consider Wolves getting into the top five at this point with how United has played. So you know, I think I think Sheffield United might be, you know, the opportunity for them to catch, and then they'll be hoping for a good hearing on Monday as far as Man City goes, so that they can get some Europa League football. And honestly, they're not ready for Champions League football anyway. And I think that's pretty clear. That defense is abysmal, and I think that would be a waste of time. So, you know, Europa League would be honestly a success for them, given how this season has gone. And then an opportunity for them to, you know, take this summer to kind of reevaluate what they have. And they got some big decisions, like we talked about before with Aubameyang and things like that, whether they're going to keep Danny Ceballos, who's been pretty solid for them down a stretch here. They're talking about trying to keep him long-term. So, you know, they got some decisions to make, but that back line, something has to be done in order for them to really be able to compete in the future.
Yeah, but, you know, the weird thing is Dan's right. Since Leno's gone out, actually the defense has been better. You know, really the problem has been the goal scoring. The defense has been pretty okay, you know, in this last run. Now, I think that it is just kind of a hot streak, and it probably it does need a lot of work. I do think Arteta has a real chance to be the guy here for a while. I like his direction. I like the style of football he coaches. And, yeah, they have young guys, and, you know, maybe Pepe turns into the guy they expect. I don't know what they're going to do with Aubameyang. It sounds more and more like he's going to end up being there now. So maybe they are going to try to go for it here. Yeah, top five, top four. I don't see any way it happens. But, yeah, you know what, Europa League is solid. You know, they perform well in the Europa League most years, so – you know, that's probably, you know, if you would have offered that before the break kicked back up, I think that they probably would have took that deal where they were in the table, especially after the first two games. So, okay, so then we know that the decision is going to be on Monday, whether it's a top five or top four race. So what we'll do is we'll do a prediction, top four prediction, and then a, you know, who's the fifth team if it does come down to it. I'll go first here. So I'm going to say it's going to finish Liverpool, City, United, Chelsea, and then the fifth team being Leicester City, if available for a fifth spot. I think that it goes there. And then I guess we can do the next two teams as well, just for the Europa League. I think Wolves grab one of those spots and Arsenal grabs the other. Probably, though, I would actually say I would go Arsenal to get the sixth spot. So if only the top six make it, Wolves would be out. But if it extends to seven, then Wolves get in the Europa League. That's my prediction. What do you got, Dan?
Yeah, actually, Mike, I think we might be going up to eight now with Europa, because they'd have three spots still in Europa. So we might be going up to eight now. So you can keep the Wolves in if you want there, and whoever else you were gonna have.
Well, how about this? Can I add Burnley then as my last team? They're right there. I like the way they've been playing. I like them better than the way Sheffield's been playing. So I think I might go with Burnley in that spot, depending on the fixture list. I haven't looked at their fixture list. It might be tough.
Yeah, I think they have a tough match coming up. Maybe two tough matches, maybe against Liverpool and Man City. I'm not 100% sure on that. That's off the top of my head. So
they've got Liverpool, Wolves, Norwich, and Brighton. So the Wolves game will probably be the most. Yeah.
The Wolves, that might be a game for the Europa League. Winner might get in the Europa.
Yeah.
Maybe. What do you got, Dan?
All right. So let's just assume top five here. We'll go Liverpool, City, going with Chelsea. That's a little bit of a difference from you. Then Man United, then Leicester, rounding up the top five. I am actually going to go with, and this might surprise you, Tottenham finishing sixth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then Arsenal, and then Wolves, rounding out the seventh and eighth spots.
Explain the Tottenham pick.
Yeah. Well, they have an extra game to play. So I think they're playing Bournemouth tomorrow. So if they win that, they're up to 51, and all of, you know, they've already passed Arsenal at that point. So they kind of have to be considered in the mix here. And then I just like the way over the last few games, actually they had a stinker, didn't they, about a week ago. Yes. So they've been hit or miss, but I'm seeing a lot more from Harry Kane and saw in the last couple of matches, they just look like they're a little more in sync. They've been missing some opportunities to score, but the opportunities are certainly there. So I think that they can just go on a little bit of a streak here. And I mean, again, if they beat Bournemouth, they're right there in the mix of it. So it's not that much of a stretch to say Tottenham number six there.
So, you know, and this is kind of how it goes most seasons, right? It ends up being the big five plus one random mix up the Europa and the Champions League. It just kind of works out that way as the fixtures go on towards the end of the year. The big dogs have a way of finding their way to the top again.
Yep. Always. So my top five, I'll do top five first. Liverpool, I'm not so sure about them, but I'll give them the number one spot. Manchester City, I'm going to stay with Chelsea at third. I think they do enough to hold that spot. United definitely going to fourth. I'm going to take Leicester at fifth, even though they scare me. But I think Wolves has too much of a gap to catch up. So Leicester at fifth. And then I think Wolves, Arsenal, and Sheffield round out the rest 6, 7, and 8 spots. And I think Wolves keeps the sixth spot. So I think that's how top eight ends up rounding out there. Obviously, I think, you know, if City gets their appeal heard, you're keeping that same table, and you bump one out, which unfortunately would be United for Champions League. But yeah, I think I see United. Oh no, I'm sorry. United would still be in, and Leicester would be the ones getting bumped out of Champions League, which would be unfortunate because at one point they were second on the table early, earlier in the year. So, but I don't know. They just the offense looks a little stagnant now, and they're kind of Jamie Vardy dependent, and defensively they're giving up goals. So I like United to leapfrog.
Yeah, one match coming up this coming weekend, I believe, on Sunday is Spurs versus Arsenal, North London derby. So could be a lot riding on the result of that match and how this all plays out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that last match day of the year could be huge too, because you've got United versus Leicester City and you've got Chelsea against Wolves. So there could be a lot of moving and shaking just on the last match day of the year, which is exactly what you would want in a scenario like this. So
not good for my fingernails though.
Yeah, right. So let's talk about some La Liga then before we wrap up here. So the Liga here, Real Madrid has taken what appears to be a commanding lead as we speak here. So we're doing this on July 8th. In the evening, they are 1 point ahead with a game in hand. Correct, Eli?
That's correct.
Yes, correct. So I think that they're the favorite here. If you look at the fixture list, I don't think there's anybody too scary. Eli, how confident are you that they can finish the job?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say an 8. Okay. The only thing that really concerns me right now is last three games, only one goal each, all three straight 1-0 wins against Athletic, Getafe and Espanyol, and a few of them coming off of penalties. So, Hazard's been out the last couple of games, and it's showing as far as their build-up play. But, you know, they're still able to create, at least, you know, find that lucky goal that gets us by right now. So, the thing that gives me confidence is the extra game in hand. So we have four games left. Barcelona has three, and we held the tiebreaker. So that win before the break against Barcelona is really coming in handy now, because even if they're level on points, Real Madrid wins the title. But, you know, guys are stepping up, man. Vinicius looks great again, which earlier in the season there were some doubts about his long-term future because Rodrigo was out playing him. But he's back to the form that he was at previously. Benzema has – you know, continued his excellent play and is you can make an argument for him for La Liga Player of the Year. So, you know, those guys give me some confidence, man. The defense, four straight clean sheets. And that kind of stuff wins titles when your team really only has to go out and get one goal, and then anything else is really a plus. We've had four straight clean sheets and 5 out of 7 in the in the 7 games we've played since the restart. So, I mean, that gives me a ton of confidence. So you know, they're going to have to hold on for dear life. Also, Barcelona's playing awfully, so that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Not much else to be worried about.
I would feel fine about it if I were you. There's a lot going on at Barcelona, a lot of turmoil there. I think that, you know, I just don't know who, you know, hey, it's only going to take one draw. If Barcelona wins out, then good luck if you only draw one game here. But, you know, there's a lot going on there. I think Real is going to be able to handle business. And you know, I think the turmoil at Barcelona continues through the I guess it won't really be the summer here, into next season. They've got a lot of question marks with Griezmann and Lionel Messi, which we're going to talk about here. How do you see it going, Dan?
Yeah, I think Real is going to take it with the match in hand there. In a point lead already, they would have to drop points in two matches essentially out of their next four. The only match that really scares me or could be a difficult one on paper is against Villarreal. It's their third match from it's a third out of four matches that they have left. So I think they'll take it. Certainly, just got to take care of business against some of the lesser teams on their fixture list, and they'll be champions again.
Yeah. So looking good for Real. Looking bad for Barcelona. They've had a lot of issues this season. You know, firing Valverde. They've had a ton of issues with the board of directors, and Messi is very unhappy. Messi has probably spoken out more in the past 6 months than he has in the past maybe 16 years, as far as expressing his displeasure with the club. So he is refusing, it seems, to sign his extension going beyond the coming seasons. I don't know if that's because he's waiting until this next president to be out, and maybe he'll do it with the next guy. Maybe he's trying to force his hand here. So Eli, do you see any way Messi leaves Barcelona? Maybe if you do, where do you think he'd go?
Realistically, no. I think he's using his leverage here to get, obviously, the Barcelona board to, you know, get some talent around him before he retires. But realistically, like, who can really afford him at this point? I don't think it's Man City anymore. I think you're probably going to start to see Man City sell guys off more than they, you know, make big purchases. So I don't, you know, really see where that's going to happen. Liverpool's not spending that big money. United, maybe, but that doesn't seem realistic. So it's just like, where else?
That seems very realistic.
I mean, where else is he to go? You know, Inter maybe, and reignite his feud with Ronaldo, or MLS, you know, at that point, which I think if Barcelona is going to let him go, I don't think they'd be too upset with him leaving for that option. So it's like, I don't know. Realistically, I don't think so, but I think he's very upset, and I think he's absolutely considering it. I think he's thinking about it for sure. I don't realistically see what other big club he lands at that point. But I mean, someone will clear the money out for him. I assume if he really wants to make it a reality, I think someone will find the money for him.
Think he stays, Dan?
I think he does. I just picturing Messi leaving Barcelona is like imagining Michael Jordan leaving the Bulls. It's like imagining Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. It's like Joe Montana leaving the 49ers. It's just unheard of.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing here.
And wherever they go, it's like, just doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right. So if he does leave, he's always going to be the Barca at heart, you know, and maybe spend the last few years of his career somewhere else if that's the route he does go. It would have to be outside of – I just can't imagine him in England. I have a hard time imagining him in Germany. I have a hard time imagining him in Italy. Possibly if PSG could make clear some cash for him, that might be a destination. That's a lot of things that would have to happen there. And I like the idea of him going to America, maybe for LAFC or something. And, you know, he'll get paid a lot and sell out stadiums once people can go back to stadiums. And, that would be huge for the MLS if they could ever land somebody like that. But I think he's going to stay at Barca.
See, I don't see him leaving either. I think he is. I think he's trying to get the president out of there and use his leverage, maybe get a whole new board of directors in there, really. But here's the thing about him going to MLS, like, and we've seen guys go to MLS who have had, you know, really nice careers in England, and then they go to MLS, like, think of Wayne Rooney. Well, Wayne Rooney, before he came to MLS, was a non-factor playing at Everton. You know, Zlatan was not Zlatan anymore. You know, even David Beckham. You know, these guys, they go to MLS, but Messi's still the best player in the world by a lot of people's accounts, right? I would, yes, yeah, he's better than us. So, you know, so I just can't see it happening yet. Maybe down the road, 3, 4, 5 years from now, he makes the turn to MLS. But I don't see him going anywhere else. I definitely can't see him playing in Italy. You know, England would be the one if he just wanted to say, like, you know, this is the biggest challenge. I want to do this. And maybe he takes it on and he comes to United or maybe Liverpool or, you know, something like that. Germany, I don't really think makes sense. And France, I guess, PSG, maybe if he just wanted a big stage and wanted to beat up on some League One teams, maybe he would do that. But so, yeah, I think we're all in agreement here that he's probably going to end up staying.
And okay. I mean, the only way, you know, he's gone to MLS as if he's like in a walker, you know, at that point, which is
right
when most guys make that move. So it's just, it's unrealistic. I think he would retire first before actually going to play in the MLS while he still has it. You know what I mean? If he's that fed up with Barca, I think he'd just walk away from football if the MLS was the only like league calling. So
speaking of MLS, last question here, and then we'll get out of here. MLS is back. Tournament starts tonight. On a scale of 0 to 10, how excited are you, or how much are you going to watch the MLS is back tournament, Dan?
I'm at about a 2 right now, and no offense to the MLS, but there's enough Premier League soccer going on to keep me interested there. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to be talking baseball and basketball coming back, and that's going to be occupying my mind. So, I might tune into a few of the earlier matches. It's interesting, you know, Dallas FC had to back out of the tournament. Mm-hmm. And it will be a good case study over the next couple of weeks to see how sports can be played in America before the other leagues get going. So I am kind of interested in that respect of how they manage COVID cases. But I'm not really interested in the tournament, although I think it is a nice marketing ploy to kind of get fans interested again in watching it.
Yeah,
unfortunately for the MLS players, Trump has botched this COVID thing. So they are, you know, returning at really the worst possible time with every other league also coming back. So I don't see where I'm going to find time to catch these games. So scale 1 to 10, I'm going to say like -1. Like I think I'm playing FIFA before I think about turning on one of these MLS games.
And I like the tournament format that they're going to do. I think that's kind of cool. Just, I don't know, when I think of soccer in America, I think of Saturday morning tournaments. Maybe that's because that's what I played in, but I don't know if that's just that's just the culture we have. So I will say I like the idea of them playing morning games, though. I think that they're going to have more morning games this year and kind of maybe after the Premier League games, maybe there's MLS games on. So, you know, maybe it's Premier League mornings and MLS brunch or something like that. That could make sense. They could get some viewership there. Yeah, I probably won't be watching much of it. Normally after the Premier League games are over, I'm at the golf course. So that's not going to be taking my attention. But, yeah, hey, man, good for them. Good for them for figuring something out and coming back.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we got for this show. Big thanks to Dan for coming back for the third time. Happy to hear from you, Dan.
Yeah, appreciate the invite. I'm always happy to talk sports with you guys. Love being able to help out and contribute.
Yeah, you're the man, for sure.
Yeah, man, appreciate you coming on.
And, guys, we also do want to mention, you know, again, allinnetwork.net. Check out the articles we're posting. Make sure you check out Eli's redraft. He's are doing a really cool series, just a kind of a fun idea. So make sure you're checking that out. Anything else, Eli?
Yeah, so, you know, after you guys are done tuning in here, make sure you go catch up. Episode 6 of the Rain and Bliss podcast dropped yesterday. Make sure you guys tune in there. They are talking about the August Alsina and Jada Smith situation.
Yes.
Some of 50 Cent's comments. some other, you know, hot topics that are going on in culture. So make sure you guys slide on over there. Check out my redraft article for those that need a refresher. 2011 draft class was Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, and so on, which is a little bit difficult because a lot of those guys actually went later in the mid to late first round. Jimmy Butler was the last pick of the first round of that draft. So got a little tricky trying to decide there amongst a lot of those guys. So see where some of maybe your favorite players ended up. And then stay tuned for the Real Deal Radio podcast coming to you soon on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and any other place streaming podcasts.
Yeah, so we got a lot going on here. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us and make sure you're checking in with all the stuff we got going on because we're putting out a lot of content nowadays. So, all right, guys, we appreciate you listening. This was the All In Podcast. Thanks.